Hey everybody, Ian here to tell you all about the fine shows you could be listening to from the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Let's start it off with the original Stuff and Things, the podcast about everything and nothing at all, starring myself and my good buddy Chewy, where we talk about our friendship, our past, our future, our history, ghosts, clowns, sharks, dolphins, and Stan Lee. That comes out every single Friday. You can also check out Four Color Commentary, where myself, Chewy, Ryan, and Alan talk about comic books. That's right, kids, comic books. Old, new, comic book movies and news. So many comics you can't even handle it all. That comes out every new comic book day, which is Wednesdays for those of you in the know. If you're an old or new comic books fan, this is the podcast for you. And every Saturday, Ryan and I team up for an action-packed blockbuster with Super Action Bros, where we watch movies with explosions and car chases. Strap in, everybody, and get your popcorn ready, because Super Action Bros is coming your way. And finally, the dark and spooky side of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. That's right, boys and girls. Get ready for some scares. It's Eyes in the Dark with Chewy, Evan, and James as they watch classic horror movies and some of those that were made just as a quick cash grab. Well, everybody, that's all the shows of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Odds are you're listening to one right now or I wouldn't even be here. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to subscribe to us and sit back, relax, and enjoy another fine Stuff and Things Network podcast.
You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast talking about movies with explosions and car chases.
And jumping off a building or running so fast that you possibly unmatrixify yourself. Those are things that happened.
Wonderful. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros. This is week number 3 of Matrix Month, in which we watch all the different Matrix movies. And so this is the third week, and you would think we'd be watching Matrix Revolutions, the third one. No, there's a there's a thing in between.
Anything we can do to delay that movie.
There's a thing in between Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions called the Animatrix. And what the Animatrix is a short film collection of different shorts and stuff done by different people that are inspired by or... I guess based off of the story that we've seen or stories that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Basically it's a bunch of cool little fan films / official canon about the Matrix.
They're all technically official canon, but the Wachowskis wrote 4 of them and there are 9 total.
Yes.
And so some of them are like direct, like, and it was weird. It was sort of weird how it was released because originally one of them was shown in front of another movie before Matrix Reloaded came out. To sort of give you some background into something that happens very early in Matrix Reloaded. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them were available for download on the internet, which was a really big deal for videos in 2003. Mm-hmm. And then they were released on DVD after Matrix Reloaded had been out in theaters.
That is how I saw them. I wanted to see the Animatrix. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
I definitely downloaded all of the ones that I could legally from the Matrix website. Or I think actually from probably animatrix.com. I remember because even though we had cable internet, at my house that I shared with other people, like, I just triggered the download on like a Saturday morning and Saturday evening was able to watch them.
Wow, that took a long exciting. Time. Yeah. So before we get into that, though,
hundreds of megabytes.
So many megabytes. So before we get into that, though, there's a couple ways you can reach out to our show. If you like what we do or you don't like what we do and you want to tell us off, you can do that, too. So you can go to our website, which is stuffandthingsnetwork.com, which we are a part of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Click on the Super Action Bros artwork, and you'll be taken to a page where you can listen to the show right there on the website. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. You can also reach out to us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, as well as Letterboxd, a movie review social media site. So letterboxd.com is where you can sign up for a free account for that. And you can also reach out to us individually on Twitter by clicking on our photos. But if you want to do that right now, you can reach out to me, Ian, at iRitch. That's at iRitch.
You can reach out to me on Twitter, also Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also email us as well. There's a big contact us button on the front page of the website. Simply click that, select our show, and shoot us an email. And we will go ahead and read that here on the show. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan, The Animatrix. So you downloaded a lot of them on the internet. I actually watched them all on DVD because I also
purchased the DVD when it came out.
And
watched it a lot.
So this is a little...
Probably more than I watched Matrix Reloaded.
So this is a little bit different than the normal stuff that we do, because this is probably, I think, our first, what we'll call... Well, I guess this is technically is definitely that. An anthology film. This is a bunch of short films put together back-to-back-to-back this was other than the theatrical release, it's pretty much a direct-to-video or direct release to kind of tide people over... till the third Matrix movie.
And I mean, it was honestly there wasn't a lot of tidying necessary because it was only a 6 month.
Yeah, gap, but that seemed like forever.
Yeah, and the thing is that like everybody wanted more. They wanted more Matrix, more in depth, more explanations. Why is happening? All that stuff, and so this. This provided that.
So we're going to go through the shorts one by one and talk about who made them and stuff. There's any, and we'll talk about our opinions on them, and we might have to offer 9 MacGuffins here. Oh my goodness. We'll try.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll go.
I don't know if we need to go that crazy about it. This might be a little bit different than a standard Super Action Bros episode. So if this is your first one, you may want to jump back to the beginning of the month where we talked about the first Matrix movie and then Matrix Reloaded kind of start off. This is a little bit different, a little bit of breaking of the form a bit. So let's jump into it right away. Let's talk about, do we want to go in the order that they are presented on
in the order that they come.
Okay.
In the order they play.
All right. So let's talk about the first one.
The order that they came out in.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the first one, which is Flight of the Osiris.
The final Flight of the Osiris.
Right. And now this is something they actually mentioned in Matrix Reloaded very briefly.
Yes.
Where they're like, oh, well, they sent us these images before this like...
before they all died.
Yeah.
Tragically.
So this is... And we'll talk about the one thing this is... We haven't done animated movies in a long time.
No, we haven't.
This is made in multiple different forms of animation. There's computer animation. There's very stylistic stuff. There's all different sorts and types in here. Mostly anime, hence Animatrix.
I'm going to geek out.
And that's okay.
So, sorry.
But let's talk about the first one, though. Let's talk about it. Because this is a CG.
Yes.
Film. Now, this is made in 2003. This is when you always talk about, oh, it's PlayStation 3 level graphic. This is early PlayStation 3 level graphics. This is like a PlayStation 2 cinematic.
So Final Flight of the Osiris, this is one of the ones that was written by the Wachowskis. It's directed by a guy named Andy Jones.
Okay.
Andy Jones is mostly a visual effects artist. He's done visual effects for movies that you're familiar with, like iRobot and Avatar.
Okay.
He also worked very heavily on a movie that is definitely completely related to this, which is Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. Did you ever see that movie? I saw the movie in theaters.
Why, Ryan?
Because I thought it looked awesome.
But then it had nothing to do with Final Fantasy.
That was part of why, because I didn't care about the Final Fantasy world, but I like science fiction, which that movie seemed like it might be.
I just Google searched the Animatrix, and www.intothematrix.com still exists.
Well, of course it does.
Let's see if it still looks the way it did in 2000.
It's probably going to be
did. Yep. Oh, yeah.
They haven't so changed tiny. Any of that. So the director of this heavily tied into that, it was actually made by the same studio that made Final Fantasy The Spirits Within, a studio that no longer exists, because it turns out nobody wanted to see movies with extremely realistic CG people.
It was designed by Square Pictures,
yeah.
So I'm assuming Square Enix.
Yep, yeah,
well, Square at the time.
They don't exist anymore.
No. But Square does, but...
but yeah, but not Square
not
Pictures.
No.
I mean, they basically made the...
They didn't do any of the other Final Fantasy direct-to-DVD ones?
I think they made Final Fantasy Advent Children.
Yeah.
And The Spirits Within and this.
Oh, okay. I see.
So, yeah. It starts with sexy Matrix sword fighting.
So it starts off with, what if Neo and Morpheus were
wanted to get into it?
Yeah, and they were like sexy people
and sword fighting
Blind,
instead. Blindfolded, yeah. Cutting off like, the clothes.
There
sword
is,
fighting.
I will say this: they say it up front in the beginning of the DVD. This has mature content. This is not for kids. So no. This is animated, but it's not for children any way.
Especially one of the later ones. A couple of them.
This one though has a full on. I mean, it starts off with a bang. There's a full on lady butt in a
she's
thong.
Got. Chones on. She's got, you know,
she's got a thong on, which is the popular underwear of the early 2000s. Yeah. The early 2000s and late 90s, popular underwear.
It's not popular anymore.
I mean, it is, but they've gone, the thong technology has advanced quite a bit, right? If I may say so myself.
Wonderful.
So,
moving on.
So this one.
So and then Matrix stuff happens.
Yeah, I mean, this one definitely is meant to be like a prequel or like a little pre thing to set up Matrix Reloaded. I mean, it's absolutely there. Like none of these characters are going to live, and none of them matter.
None of them do. Yeah, nobody survives this movie. Yeah,
pretty much the story of this one, to put it in a nutshell, is there's some fighting. Then they're like, hey, wake up out of the Matrix like program thing. There's some stuff going on, and they find all those Sentinels are drilling into Zion. And they're like, oh man, we better get this information in. And so they send it off. They send the girl into the Matrix.
They're battling the Sentinels in their hovercraft.
Yeah, so it's literally pretty much the end of the first Matrix, where there's somebody in the Matrix and everyone's trying to defend the person who's in the Matrix.
Except unlike the end of the first Matrix, where everything's okay, everybody dies in this one.
But they get the information that Zion is going to be destroyed by these giant drills. So that's pretty much it. Like, there's some, I mean, like, I will say, other than the sexy parts, like, the opening cinematic is pretty, like, the opening cinematic part with the sword fighting is pretty neat.
That's good.
That's probably, to me, that and when she's actually in the Matrix are the parts that are the best. Well, it's everything funny. Else, it's, again, it falls in that rule. If it's in the Matrix, great. If it's not in the Matrix, no one cares.
But the thing is, most of the stuff that's out of the Matrix, like, especially when they're flying around with the robots, it's completely indistinguishable from the actual movie. Because the actual movie is all CG also.
Yeah, it looks
so
pretty.
So it's just like, oh, it's kind of like a little Matrix prequel.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's fun. It made sense to put this out to like build hype for the Matrix.
Absolutely.
Right before
like
Reloaded
this
came
now
out.
This now is like, this is like the beginnings of quote unquote viral marketing.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most mainstream, I think, of all of the different things that are in the Animatrix. Like, this is the one that, like, you're like, if you like just like the Matrix movies, like, and but you're not like you want to know the whole basically story of the movies, but without any of the other like what ifs or hey, what's the history stuff, like, which is what I like. This is probably the most straightforward basic one, to be honest. Like, this one is it's just standard Matrix fare. Nothing like, oh my god, this is really cool, or this is a new angle on it, or something I didn't think about, which we'll get into with some of the other ones, which are like a little more deep and a little more I know that's weird to say deep, but a little more angles we didn't think about, or like a interesting take on this world, like what if this happened. So I mean, it's fine, it's not, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's very much standard Matrix fare. Nothing much to say about it other than that.
Yeah, I mean, it has some cool moments, like the part where she's in the Matrix finally, and she like jumps down off a building and does all this acrobatics through a power station or whatever, and lands on the ground, and the ground does the like the little like like wave thing, like it's cloth, and the dumpsters flap down. It looks neat.
For a second, cool, I thought shot. That old lady was going to turn into an agent.
I did too.
I was like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, but no, she didn't. And then the other lady died. Drops her weird looking cell phone and dies.
Yep, and that's it.
Power placement.
So we move on now to the second. We'll combine the second and third shorts together because they're two parts of the same.
When it was downloadable, they only put the first one available to download. So if you
serious?
Wanted to get the conclusion, you had to wait to the DVD.
No, that's awful.
Oh man,
what kind of monsters would do
so
that?
Annoyed. I mean, I had to wait weeks.
I mean,
like 2 weeks, entire weeks.
So.
It's called the second Renaissance parts one and two. And basically it's the backstory of the machines in the Matrix. Because everybody's like, how did the Matrix come to be? Like, what's the, you know, where'd the robots come from? And stuff. This is that.
Yeah.
This explains it.
And this is why it's probably one of my favorite ones, is because I will say this. This one is extremely violent.
Yes.
Like, there are robots ripping people's heads open. And like
people ripping robots' heads open.
That
robots
one,
that look like people.
That's the most disturbing part. Yeah. And especially when I had the subtitles turned on, and when you see
that's terrible.
She's we'll get there. I'll put it as family friendly as possible. But basically these guys are ripping apart this robot
that who looks like a person,
looks like a lady at first. You're like, oh my God, what are they doing to that woman? And then it's a robot and you see him beating the heck out of it and like ripping her apart. But the last thing she says before she dies, she goes, I'm real. And it's heartbreaking. You're like, oh my God, we're all monsters.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of it, you sort of sympathize with the robots.
And now you're like, I understand. Put all these people. Enslave them all. They're all evil. They treated you awful.
Yeah.
That's why I just look at Siri. I'm like, please don't be mad that I yell at you sometimes. I'm sorry.
That's why I don't ever use Siri.
She can't
understand.
Hey, no relationship. Hey, you're just sympathizer. You're just a sympathizer. Not with them. You're sympathizing with our cause. If you don't say, hey, you know what? I'm not with those guys. Like you gotta.
I'm not like one of those humans.
Not
like one of those fleshlings.
But I really. This
Did you
is,
just move your phone away from you on purpose? So Siri
No. I just moved it aside because I was gonna use hand gestures and I didn't want to knock it on the floor and anger it further. But this one is intense and also informative. This one was also written by the Wachowskis.
Written by the Wachowskis. The director of these two shorts is Mihiro Maeda, who, among other things, worked on concept art and design for Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, okay.
But who also designed a couple of the Angels in Neon Genesis Evangelion, worked on Escaflowne and Last Exile.
I can see this.
Be an animator for Studio Ghibli and worked on Nausicaa, Castle in the Sky, and Porco Rosso.
I could see that.
So he also did, he also directed the animated bits in Kill Bill.
Oh, all right.
Same director.
Okay, cool. So let's talk. Yeah, I was gonna say, okay, that's where I know him from. That's why it looks familiar. That anime bit in the first Kill Bill. But let's talk about this one. What? The first one, obviously, I think we're both in agreement on. Like, it's fine, but it's not like standout. Yeah. This one for me was one of the standouts when I remember first watching it. For me, it still holds the same impact. I thought I was like, oh, this is gonna be dumb. This really still holds.
This
the same
had all
impact
that
for me.
sweet backstory that I had craved for so long.
Oh yeah.
All of that exposition.
Long story short, humans made robots, treated robots like garbage.
Robots got angry about it.
One robot got angry because the person who quote unquote owned him was going to throw him in the garbage. And so he's like, I want to defend my own life. I didn't want to die. So I killed them.
Yeah. The humans were like, well, we need to get rid of this robot. And the robots were like, hang on a second.
Nobody programmed Asimov's laws of robotics into these robots.
Those fools. The hubris. Asimov's laws of robotics exist for a reason, you guys.
They destroy all these robots and it's like robot genocide.
Yeah. It's shot like robot genocide.
And there are some things in here which are, you might argue are insensitive.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the robot on his knees getting shot in the head, very much like the famous shots.
They
definitely mirror a lot of real world stuff that happened with robots.
Yeah. Like
the
person standing in front of the tanks in Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
But basically what they get at with those potentially very insensitive and extremely dark bits is that like, humans did not at all value the lives of robots.
No.
And had no problem just destroying
them. Well, there were some that did, but again, they were just like, oh, you're sympathizing with them? Well, you're just as bad. You're going to die too.
Kill you too.
And so it ends. Well, one part of it ends with pretty much a bunch of robots being dumped into the ocean.
Yeah.
And so at a certain point, robots go, well, we're going to move to our own sovereign nation called 01, which is in the cradle of civilization in the Middle East.
It looks Iraq-ish.
Yeah. They build this civilization. They start having industry. They're selling things to different parts of the world.
Yeah, well, they have industry and their industry is unstoppable and unbeatable.
Yeah.
Because they're all the robots.
Yeah.
And now that there's no more robots, people can't make iPhones or
future phones. Matrix phones, whatever they were.
We're
Cars, which is what they were making.
And so then the humans say, well, let's start a war.
Well, yeah, and their representatives from the robot nation try to come to the UN.
And then those robots are destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pretty vicious.
The robots take it as a declaration of war, and so do all the humans.
And so war begins. And this is where it gets real intense, because there's like dudes in mech suits fighting these giant like matrixy. Oh, by the way, before they do that, I'm sorry. Before the war starts.
Yeah.
The humans kill the sky. They show them like the robot's main power source is humans. It's solar power. So they kill the sky because they're like, if we kill the sky, the robots will stop working. And yeah, it sucks, but this is the only way.
Which is
ridiculous.
Maybe a bad choice.
Yeah, maybe a bad choice. And then that's when the sky comes black.
Everything
robots
gets way darker.
Are fighting. One thing I will say about this is that I like that it wasn't like all the same robot design. Yeah. Like they had various different types of robots and different types of like machines, as opposed to like in the beginning of this, it, the machines don't look matrixy. Like they don't, they start looking like the Matrix Sentinels and stuff towards the end. When the machines start kind of making their own and start, you know,
well, before they scourge the sky, they nuke 01.
They do. That's correct.
And then the robots keep coming.
Yeah.
And then that's when they destroy the skies and get rid of the sun.
Yeah.
And then everything gets worse.
Yes.
And robots get better at killing people.
Oh my God. They rip people out of suits and rip their arms apart. And
it's pretty gnarly.
It's like, it's gnarly on both ends. Cause you're like, oh my, and they even like, by the way, this entire thing is being told by the computer of Zion, which looks like a kind of like a Indian goddess of some sort. But she's, but the I think they said at one point, they're like, what is it? Like, may whatever gods there be, like, forgive the sins of man and machine. And then they show like them just destroying each other in this giant war.
It's pretty messed up.
And then the machines pretty much win. They they win.
Yeah, and the machines just straight up start harvesting people and experimenting on them.
They're real. They've
like all the soldiers and stuff.
It's God,
like,
and that's the most disturbing part. Like they have people with their head half open and they're like poking needles in, and like this like guy's like laughing, and then he's like crying, and it's really, here's the thing. These are some of the best ones, but they're really off-putting.
They're
and
really like, dark.
It really
and
it,
like disturbing.
It really sits with you, and you're like, I don't know how to feel. I don't know who's the good guys and the bad guys anymore. It's not clear.
It comes down to nobody's the good guys, essentially.
I mean, and so eventually then the machines go back to the UN, and they're like, oh man, that was the part, that was the most metal line in the whole thing, where that like robot was there and he's like, surrender your flesh and a better world awaits you. And then like blows up New York.
Yeah.
Oh man, surrender your flesh. What a metal thing to say. And then they show like, well, this is what life is like now. And this little kid's in like the Matrix, and it's the snowing and stuff. And then the parents are like, come inside. And then the parents turn into agents, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
And then they show all the fields of people. So it does a really good job of like explaining all that backstory. And it like does it in a pretty heavy emotional way, where it's not, I don't know, it could have come off as really silly and goofy, but like they took it dark.
Yeah.
And I know that Ryan's not a big fan of dark sometimes.
No, I'm not.
But with this, I think it's justified. It's war.
I mean, it works.
They talked about the war with the, I mean, for
war
this,
is it, hell, it's, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah. So, but I, this is, for me, is one of my favorite group. I would say that this is one of my, I don't know. What do you think?
Like it's like I said, this is the only, like the only source of backstory for the Matrix. And I guess this is taken from some of the Matrix comics.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Some of the Jeff Darrow drawn Matrix comics were adapted into this animated, these two animated shorts. But like it's super dark and like kind of pretty messed up.
Yeah, it sits with you after. When I was younger and I watched it, I was kind of like, oh, that was cool. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh man, like, that really sits with you. You're like
everything is terrible.
Well, this is back in also 2003, where I'm like, oh, there'll never be phones that can talk to me. And now, sure enough. I recommend, if you're going to watch any of them, I think this is one that's definitely, yeah, especially if you love Matrix lore. Like
if you're into Matrix lore and stuff like that, you have to have watched these. These are like non-negotiable, crucial elements of Matrix lore. The rest of these can come and go, but this one is you have to,
pretty solid.
You have to.
Yeah. So moving on to the third one, Kid's Story.
Yeah, technically the fourth. But
the fourth. Well, yeah, the fourth one.
Kid's Story. This is the last one written by the Wachowskis.
Yes.
And this is also the last one that ties directly into the Matrix film.
We met this character, a kid, in the second movie. He's this kid that Neo, quote unquote, saved from the Matrix, kind of like Morpheus saved Neo sort of thing.
And they actually have the voice actor of the kid is the actor from the movie.
Yeah, and it's Keanu.
And in the movie, you see him, you're all right, what's the deal with this kid?
Yeah.
And so here's the explanation of that.
So pretty much it's, the best way I can describe this one in a nutshell is it's extended version of Neo running through the office and meeting the Morpheus scene. But it's more action-y than that.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things that I'd say are different and better than that. One of them is like it's what if Neo didn't have to take the red pill, he just figured it out.
Yeah.
And the other one is Matrix skateboarding.
Yeah.
The skateboarding in this short is great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's so cool.
So who did this one? So the Wachowskis
The Wachowskis wrote it. This was directed by Shinichiro Watanabe. So if you've watched Cowboy Bebop, that's the director of Cowboy Bebop. Also, Space Dandy and Samurai Champloo and a bunch of other stuff. And then it was animated by Studio 4 Degrees C, who are a pretty big, one of the big animation studios, but also like one of the really forward thinking, like pretty hardcore. They're awesome animation studios. The animation in this one is really, really, really interesting because the backgrounds are detailed to the point that they could be photographs.
Yeah.
Like they could be photographs. Yeah. I'm not sure. But then the animation itself, the way the kid moves, it's incredibly sketchy. And and the thing that Studio 4 Degree C is well known for is like the animation is almost impressionistic, mm-hmm. as opposed to realistic.
Agreed.
The way that he moves and the way that everybody moves, it's not necessarily the way people actually move, but it's sort of like gives you the feeling of speed, gives you the feeling of like, you know, running through a hallway with a skateboard and stuff like that. Like it looks super cool.
Yeah.
Like it looks like it's something that you definitely could not do with a computer. Like somebody did that.
Yeah.
Somebody drew all those things with a bunch of markers or something.
I the thing I really take away from this one that I really like is the idea that a person, and they make it very clear, like this is the first time it's happened, a person can wake themselves up from the Matrix.
By committing suicide.
Well, by willing themselves to wake up in some way.
But
by saying.
But it does also kind of look like he commits suicide.
And he does.
Which is kind of screwed up.
Yeah, but he, because he knows like this isn't real and I'm not gonna
die. I almost
feel
like they wouldn't have made this now. Yeah. Someone would have been like, hey, like let's a lot of kids are really hardcore into the Matrix. Maybe this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe telling them like, oh, you know how you wake up from the Matrix? You kill yourself. Maybe don't make that.
Or maybe realize that this is pretend.
Yeah.
At least that's what the machines want us to think.
I gotcha. But I mean, like, if this came out in 2016, like, Tumblr would be all over it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm not offended by it because it's
fantasy. No, I'm not offended by it, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah, I know.
Maybe it was irresponsible.
Maybe. I don't know. It didn't. Well, first of all, fun fact, this is the only short in this entire thing in which Neo appears.
That's true. And it's Keanu Reeves himself doing, says, hey.
Yeah, and Carrie Ann Moss does Trinity as well.
Yeah, she does. It's not the only one where she's Trinity, though. Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. This one's okay. Like, I think it's okay.
I really like all the skateboarding parts.
I do like the animation more than I do like the story in this one.
Yeah, like it's exciting. I feel like this is one of the few where in the middle part and the part where the stuff's happening, you're like, oh wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at least for me, like, this is the most exciting one.
Yeah.
This is the one that gets me mostly because Matrix skateboarding. They didn't do it in the Matrix. They don't have a part where Keanu does a sweet flip, you know, kick flip over a, you know, grind or whatever. I don't know about skateboarding, but they don't do that anywhere else.
Do you know what a grind is?
Yeah, I know all about skateboarding. I'm just making a joke. Okay. I've played a ton of Tony Hawk, okay?
Yeah, that's the most realistic skateboarding simulator.
So realistic.
Anyway, so yeah, I would say this one's okay. It's not one of my favorites, but it's all right.
This is also the one that ties in with the Matrix. Like, you have to, like, this, like Final Flight of the Osiris, like, without this, a specific very minor plot point in Matrix Reloaded is rendered moot. Like, who cares? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But with this, you're like, oh, that's that. It's almost like...
It has a little more emotional weight to that
character. Almost like in one of the Marvel movies where, like, somebody from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up for, like, 30 seconds and says one line.
Yeah.
And all the people who watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are like, oh, that's that guy.
Yeah.
And everybody else is like, what was that about?
Yeah.
This is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in that situation.
Exactly.
Which, that's kind of a sad... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is fun, but it's not great.
It's enjoyable. It's a perfectly cromulent program. Yes, speaking of program, that's the name of the fifth short.
What a clever segue.
I didn't do that on purpose.
No, I don't believe you.
So this one, actually, I really dug this one. I remember this was the one that I remember seeing a lot of.
This one's cool, but it bums me out, man.
Yeah. So the idea behind this one, who made this one?
Sure. This one was directed by Yoshiaki Kawajiri, mm-hmm. Who is well known as an animation director for Ninja Scroll,
okay,
and also for Vampire Hunter D,
okay.
Ninja Scroll, I think, is the more relevant bit because Ninja Scroll takes place in feudal Japan, and so does this in a Matrix version of feudal Japan.
Yeah,
it was also directed animated by Madhouse, which is a different animation studio than 4 Degree C. If you're a nerd, if you're an anime nerd, you're like, oh yeah. So
you guys are freaking out. So there's that. Right now.
But yeah, the character designer Yukata Minoa, also who worked on Ninja Scroll and Vampire Hunter D. So it's feels very like Ninja Scroll and Vampire Hunter D.
So
in that like really dark but like very stylized, extremely stylized way.
Yeah, that's what I really like about this one is it doesn't seem when you first start watching it doesn't seem Matrix like at all.
Yeah,
like it's like we've seen a lot of stuff inside of programs and stuff. We've seen them do like you know karate and stuff and jujitsu and all that, but we've never seen it be like a full on like hey, what if we just made a feudal Japan program?
Yeah,
like which, what if we made?
Which if you think about it, like. That would absolutely happen. Like,
yeah.
Like all because
once you figure out that you can hack your brain like that, then well, yes, I mean, absolutely.
Think about it. If you think about it, all the like people, all the people who are on the various hover ships or whatever, like they're all former hackers. Like, let's be honest, they're all nerds.
Yeah.
Like you know that somebody's like, oh man, like we're gonna go into the giant robot simulator. Are you guys ready?
Well, there's two ways you can go about it. You can make the blonde like in the first movie, or you can be like, hey, let's get in giant robots and fight.
or let's go to feudal Japan and
let's know. Be knights, let's be pirates, let's be whatever, like let's be superheroes.
Yeah,
let's,
come on, that would absolutely happen.
Absolutely. And like,
oh, well, we're gonna find out today if Iron Man would beat Batman.
So what I really dug about this one is twofold. Number one, I really dig the look of it because it looks totally different than the Matrix stuff we've seen. Thing number two I really like about it is I do enjoy the story of it because it's almost like an expanded version of what we saw in the first movie with like, hey, like. We had Cypher in the first movie. He's like, yeah, I'm going back in. You know, that's that they're the win inside, man. Who cares? Who cares about about being in the real world? It matters how our life is lived. And I enjoy that more. This is like this, but on like a completely different level. This is like this, but like, what if Trinity was like, I'm all about you.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what's like, but then
it ends with like but was it a test?
It was.
Oh, but was it?
Well, the other person wasn't real.
Well, no, he was there. She hits him in the face.
Does she?
Yeah.
No,
it's Phil Lamar.
See, I thought that he was that guy that they made was a program, just a program version of him.
Oh, no, I thought that was Phil Lamar.
No, I thought it was
like Phil Lamar.
I thought maybe it was, but they made like a program version of him basically saying, "Hey, I love you. I want to be with you, but we got to in order to do that, we got to go back in the Matrix."
No, that was another dude who was also in that program with her. That was the other guy, that she hits in the face.
Oh, so it was pretend.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
I mean like they were fighting and it was a test. To see if she would quit the Matrix and go back in.
I thought, but, I thought she said multiple times in there it was a program. It was a program.
They're in a program.
But I didn't know if they were referring to the guy in there as a program. No, like, the person who you loved wasn't real. Like, that was all just in your head that we made you feel those emotions.
That's why she hits the guy in the face.
Oh, I thought it was more of a, she hits the guy in the face, like, how could you trick me like that and emotionally manipulate me?
I thought the emotional manipulation part was telling her that he's going to leave and go back into the Matrix.
I thought it was more like, what is it? Was it on Rick and Morty, like Roy? Like, my wife.
Like, it was man. So like, wait, well, so that's one of the cool things about this one is that it's open to interpretation.
Yeah.
And it's stylized enough that
it
works both ways.
I used to think it was like what you said, which is don't worry, like it was like pretend or like it was a real person in some way, but we stopped them or whatever. But now when I watch it again, I'm like, are they just emotionally manipulating her to check to see? Like, if you're in love, will you abandon what you really believe in for something you love?
I think that she's supposed to be actually like in story in love.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I don't know. But I mean, either way, but I don't know what it was. Either way, it's still messed up.
Also, the part where she catches the sword and breaks it.
Oh, it's one of my favorite. It's incredible. Like, the fighting in this is great.
In any animated anything, that's like that move is one of the coolest moves I've ever seen.
This is also one of my favorite ones. Just for that reason, I really, really dug this one too.
It's really cool.
Like, if I had to pick, I'm going to count the Renaissance one as one. But I had to say, if I had to pick, like, half of them were good and half of them were like, or like weren't my cup of tea, this is definitely on this one's good side.
And it's the animation style is really good, but really like somewhere between hyperreal and surreal. Mm-hmm. So like there's a great part where they're both on the rooftop and at first it seems like it's not a very big roof and it's relatively close, but then you like the camera flips around and suddenly the rooftop extends greatly. Mm-hmm. And it feels very much like the kind of thing where you're like looking at somebody and suddenly you feel like really far away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great sort of psychological like trick that you can do in animation, but you can't really do in live action.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. I really like it when there's animated stuff that you can't do in real life.
Totally. So let's move on to the next one. This is another one of my favorite ones, actually. Not so much for the animation style, but just for the story thing. I think that this does a better job of what the kid's story thing was trying to do. I enjoy this one a little bit better, though. And this one's called World Record.
Yeah. This one's also directed. This one's also from animated by Madhouse. The director's name is Takeshi Koike. I'm not good at Japanese. But this is a person who worked on the Afro Samurai pilot, who directed the Afro Samurai pilot. If you're familiar with the show Afro Samurai, he also directed the Iron Man anime.
Oh yeah.
Pilot.
Okay.
Worked on the most recent Lupin the Third movie.
Okay. So this one follows a guy who is a track star who is pushing himself way, way harder than he should.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally, the easiest way I could describe this is this track guy runs so fast, he breaks the matrix and wakes himself up. Like he's yes, so
cool.
Like, and to me, I'm like, I think this is like the other side of that, like of the kid's story one, which is yes, you can mentally believe yourself out of the matrix, mm-hmm. but you could also, humans can break it.
Yeah, like, it's almost like he breaks it with willpower.
Yeah, it's like he wills himself to run faster and do push his body beyond. Like, because we know that if you know the Matrix is fake, you can bend the rules and you can you can jump further and run faster. But he doesn't know that he's in a program. But all of a sudden, he like breaks it just by like willing himself to run faster, and he wakes up for a minute. Like, and so much so that like they ended up basically he in the Matrix they program it in such a way that agents or whatever whoever's in charge program it in such a way that like no he's handicapped now even though in reality he's not like he's fine. I just thought that was a really neat concept, and I like the execution. I love that when he's running really fast, like, and he's breaking the matrix, there's all these agents. I like the way the agents are designed in this too. They're a little bit different. They have like trench coats and stuff.
Yeah. The design on this one is definitely a little, it's wacky.
It's wacky.
It's cool because it's very, like, it's not just stylized, but it's like a style.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't go for any sort of anything approaching realism at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks very cool, very science fiction-y.
Yeah.
We've talked about this on Four Color Commentary, mm-hmm. the comics podcast, but I love sports in animation and in comics because it doesn't happen very much.
Yeah.
And when it does, it's always really interesting because it's not, because combat and fighting and stuff blown up happens so much in animation and in comics. But in a sense, sports is the same sort of thing, the same emotional stakes, the same kind of action, but
just different,
but it's different. And so it's the animation in this is really interesting. And I really like the part where he's running in slow motion. Everybody's running in slow motion, and the way the animation sort of makes everything feel like it's floating because everybody's moving slowly.
I love the two when the agents take over the other runners. Yeah, they're like suddenly on the field. Oh man, it's awesome. And like at the very end too, where he's like in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the ones where like when he's running, you could like I could almost feel myself being like, go, come on. Like, even though I've seen this before, I know it's going to happen, that you're still just kind of like getting stoked about it.
Well, and the end of it too is great because like their agents are watching. They're like, he doesn't have any idea. We put him back to sleep. He's back in. He doesn't know. And he's in like a wheelchair and his legs are all braced up. And at one point he just is like, as you say, like not real or something like that.
Oh, what did he says
something
say?
Like that, but he like starts standing up and walking.
Yeah.
And like he's a,
and the agents like, no, are like right
sit
there.
Sit down.
Yeah. And then you don't know like, is he just trying not to get in trouble now? Or
what is it?
Yeah, because he definitely wakes up and you see him like see like the Matrix, but then like I guess they're supposedly they wipe his mind or whatever.
Yeah.
But we all know that wiping minds never works perfectly.
Exactly. I really enjoy this one just for the concept and the fact that it's so different from the other ones. Like this one to me stands out because of its uniqueness, because like you said, it involves sports, it involves that. So I really enjoy this one a lot. I mean, the art style is very different and unique. It's not really my favorite of the bunch, but I do really like the story behind it. So let's move on to the next one.
The next one is called Beyond. This is actually one of my favorite ones. I know that
I can understand why you like this one. Cause you, this has a very, and I mean, this is a combo. This has a very, Studio Ghibli feel to it.
Yeah, it does.
It very like much like magical and less like there's the Matrix and there's agents and guns and everyone's killing each other. This is more like, hey, what if the Matrix broke in one place and people were having fun with it?
This is very like magical realism.
Yes.
Which if you've watched any Studio Ghibli things, they tend to, he traffics very heavily in that. It was directed by Koji Morimoto, who is one of the founders of Studio 4 Degree C and who worked for Studio Ghibli before then working on like Kiki's Delivery Service and also worked on the anime Fist of North Star. But like obviously the pedigree there plays out in this one. This is also somebody who's worked on Akira. And they worked on, there's this segment in this, this anime collection of short films called, Memories, called in this segment called Magnetic Rose, which is also very magical realist, but also like super dark.
Yeah.
But this is not dark, but it's that same feel. It feels very like real life.
Yeah.
But like just, but what if it was, what if there's this one little thing and it was kind of like, basically it
makes you forget that all these people are like are naked, makes you forget all about cables and pods somewhere in some dark dystopian awful future.
It's like this teenage girl's looking for a cat and she finds these crappy kids.
Yeah.
And they go to this haunted house where haunted it's basically house. Like quote unquote a haunted house. It's basically like broken in the Matrix. Like it's like this is
it rains like, it's like sunny there's a, and it
there's
rains,
a whole bunch of software bugs in this house.
Yeah, and they're like jumping off stuff, but they don't hit the ground. They like hover and
yeah, like there's like a couple of places where like there's gravity problems, and like in one part it's just raining all the time, and like in another part, you open a door and there's literally nothing.
Yeah, it's Glitchville. It's like Matrix Glitchville, and it's kind of fun and innocent in
almost a kind of a beautiful way.
Yeah, and in this like totally bleak series about this horrible dystopian future where machines have taken over and destroyed us all, like it's this kind of little moment of like magic.
Yeah, there's one little zone, you know, there's one little broken house where in one section of the pavement everything is in slow motion.
Yeah. But the Matrix can't have that.
Oh yeah, and so then at the end agents come and they exterminators come in and they turn it into a parking lot. They pave paradise and put up a parking lot.
Wow. Somebody was listening to a lot of Joni Mitchell when they made this one.
He was. Story.
But like I like this. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites. Because I know it's one of yours.
It is.
Because I can understand. I can totally understand why.
I like how it's just sort of pretty and like I don't know, it's just fun.
I think it's funny that the first one, the thing that starts it off is probably, in my opinion, probably one of the least good ones in here.
Yeah.
It's weird to say, but it's true. But yeah, no, this is really good. It's different. It has a different feeling to it.
This is really the only one that doesn't feel like it's based on a series about a oppressive dystopian robot future.
If we ever watch the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, if we ever watch all those, we should really watch the anime thing they did in the middle of those.
Gotham Knight. I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good.
It has some good stuff in it too. So moving on from this one though, we have two more. We have a detective story. This one I really like.
Yeah, this one.
I know you're not surprised that I like this one.
This one's great. This one is also directed by Shinichiro Watanabe, the guy who made Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo and Space Dandy and stuff like that. And you can feel the Cowboy Bebop in
it. Oh, yeah,
Cowboy
absolutely.
Bebop is if you haven't watched it, it's about space bounty hunters, but it's also very noir-y.
Yeah.
And this, like, the animation style and the narration style, everything about this is very, very similar to that, except that this is in sort of like a kind of a weirdly steampunk world.
Yeah.
And also, one of the really cool things they did, because I've read about the background of these, they animated it over a TV that was on static, or at least over static cells, because everything looks kind of staticky in this.
Yeah.
And that's done on purpose. It's not just like this is a crappy transfer of this.
No.
It's supposed to look like that. Because
I love the animation. I love it. It's black and white too.
Yeah.
Because it fits that noir and film noir.
This is the only other one that features somebody from the movie.
Yeah.
Trinity's in this very briefly. And I think timeline wise, like official timeline wise, it takes place before the first Matrix.
Yeah. I think so.
But it's basically about a private eye who somebody is paying him a whole lot of money to find Trinity.
Yeah. And it's a mystery. And there's like, of course, the Alice in Wonderland overtones are back. So there's a lot of Alice in Wonderland stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But like, I really dig that it's like, it has very little, again, has very little to do with the, I think the things that are the best ones about this are the ones that have very little to do with the Matrix.
Yeah.
In the sense that they are a different view, something different that we wouldn't see in the movie, something that we wouldn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's really nice about this one, is that it's something we wouldn't expect out of the Matrix movie. It has a very different feel, especially with all the stuff that's so technical, and like we have all this technology and computers and hacking. This doesn't really have that in it. It's very low tech on it. It's a quote unquote, it's a Humphrey Bogart detective movie that takes place in the Matrix. Like,
yeah,
that's
actually
the best way to describe it.
Actually, technically the character of the detective is as far as Wikipedia can tell, it's a direct reference to the character Ezekiel Easy Rollins,
okay.
Who's a Walter Mosley character, who is like a of the period noir detective that they based it pretty directly on. Like, he looks like the description of the character. Mm-hmm. And it's a, yeah.
I really dug this one. This was another, this is probably one of my other favorites.
Yeah, this is really cool. And if you liked this, you would like Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bebop?
I've seen bits and pieces of Cowboy Bebop.
You need to see the whole thing.
Okay.
Or at least the movie.
Okay.
There's a movie that fits into the anime, but you can see it on as a standalone. It's probably a pretty good indication whether or not you're gonna like the show.
No, watch it. I like all that stuff.
Nah, yeah. This is one of the best ones in there. This was, I remember when I bought the DVD of this, this was one of the ones I was most stoked about.
Yeah.
Because I was an anime nerd and Cowboy Bebop was my holy grail. So yeah. So let's talk about the last one.
Matriculated.
Oh boy, this is directed by
I don't know.
A weird one.
Okay. I still don't know how to feel about this one. I don't know if I liked it or if I didn't. I don't know.
So this is directed
by... It starts
off so
promising.
This is directed by Peter Chung, who is the guy who made Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
The animation, not the movie with Charlize Theron.
Yes. The animated MTV show.
And it is trippy.
This is a weird one.
Maybe,
man.
Trippy is too light of a term.
Well, the concept behind it is that these people are basically luring machines in that are... you know, the outside world machines. They're luring them into this hideout, basically capturing them, hooking them into a program, and basically making them choose to not be evil robots anymore and to fight on the side
through
of the
love
humans.
And understanding.
Yeah, and doing it. This TV board kind of fooling around. But it ends kind of in this really kind of sad way.
Everybody dies.
Well, not only that, but like, okay.
So do all the robots they've converted.
Well, that's not the reason why it's sad to me. Like, yes, that's sad, but like, so we basically follow this robot from being evil to being good. So he eventually becomes good while there's this huge robot attack. Robot attack happening inside of this complex that they're in. So, but the sad part about it is like they put this robot in the simulation. It's this weird, trippy visuals.
Oh man, it's so weird.
Yeah,
it's really very strange. Like, I mean, there's not a way. It's strange. It's very surreal.
It's very,
very
surreal. Yeah. But the sad thing about it is at the very end, like all these people are dying. They're like, come on, robot that we converted or that chose to be good. They don't really convert it. It chooses.
Yeah, it chooses.
But it's like, come on, help us. And at the very end, this girl gets all like, she's almost dead. And so the robot like hooks her in back into the Matrix thing and like hooks himself back in. And they have like their whatever Matrix-y avatars. And he's like, let me help you. And she's like screaming and like won't. Except, like, it's weird.
How do you take that? My interpretation is she dies.
Well, yes, but does she? Could she have lived if she had accepted the help?
I don't know. I.
That's the part that really got to me.
If she could have, then probably what this thing is saying is like, but there will always be this inherent fear of humans for robots. Humans are afraid of robots in when it comes right down to it.
Unless we're changing them, but when they go, hey, I even, want to help you, it's like, I don't trust you.
Even when she has, when they have changed this robot, they still don't trust it.
Yeah.
And that maybe the trust will never be there.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of things, it's like, well, you know, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand death.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah. And by at the very end of it, you see that robot who's all like good. He has a green light instead of red one. He's sitting out waiting for more robots to come. He's
so
like
that he can so that he can convince them to be nice.
Yeah. To not be human killers. I don't know. This is it's not a bad one, but it's really weird. And it doesn't sit like the other one sits heavy, but this one you're like, I don't know what I'm feeling. Right.
Well, yeah,
now.
This is like of the ones that are very heavily tied into the Matrix, because some of them just sort of like happen to take place in the Matrix or are sort of side stories. This one feels very much like here's the resistance. Here's another cell of people. Like this is the one that doesn't have a conclusion.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Like, it has like, kind of like
if you compare this to the first four, you know, really the first three, Kid Story and Final Flight of the Osiris and the first Second Renaissance 1 and 2, like those feel like they have a conclusion. At the end of Second Renaissance, you're supposed to say like everybody's awful. At the end of Kid Story, you're like, oh, well, maybe people can be better, you know. And at the end of this one, you're just kind of like, well, huh?
Yeah, I mean it's.
I wonder how this is going to sit after we watch Revolutions. Because I remember the ending of Revolutions also being a, well, okay, all right. Well, so, no, so, but I haven't seen it since it came out.
Oh man, I'm super excited to see that part where Agent Smith laughs all big. Oh man, it's gonna be so bad. So Ryan, let me ask you this: did you watch this with your wife, or did you watch
she
alone?
She was sort of half paying attention.
Gotcha.
Most of the time, except for at the end of the last one, she had started fully paying attention. She's all, "What the heck?" I was like, "Yeah." That one was a weird one, because that was like that, like at the she started really fully paying attention about halfway through Detective Story, mm-hmm. and then watched all of this one, and then was like, "What? Like, what did we just watch?"
So, well, let me ask you, Ryan, what are your thoughts totally on the Animatrix overall?
I mean, I really like it when people do risky things like this with very, very financially successful film franchises. Kind of this. Sort of created the template for instance, that other the Batman one, Batman Gotham Knight or whatever it's called. I really like it when people do this because I really like animation as an art form, and I really like it when there's animation that's not just like trying to sell toys. So as a whole, I am a fan of this. This is mm-hmm. this is the only Matrix DVD that I bought before I bought the big box set at Costco for $25.
Yeah. I remember really enjoying this.
So I own two copies of this.
I'm going to say this right now. And because I know I don't like Revolutions, I'm going to say this right now. Yeah. This is the best Matrix sequel. This and The Matrix are the only two like really good Matrix things.
And it's really only like half great.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely better than... I'd rather watch this again than Matrix Reloaded or Matrix Revolutions. But that being said, like, I would probably pick and choose the ones I'd want to watch.
Yeah, yeah. This is definitely one that I would watch with my hand on the skip button on my DVD player. Because I don't need to watch this one.
Yeah. So overall, though, what would you rate this overall? Like, I know that we talked about the ones we individually like, but overall, if you were to say, okay, I have to give this a rating of 1 to 10.
I mean, I feel like if you like The Matrix, you should be into these.
Yeah.
And I'd probably give it, I don't know, like a kind of a middle of the road, 6.5. 6.5 Matrix skateboarding scenes. 6.5 Matrix skateboard tricks.
You really like the Matrix skateboard tricks. I'll probably give it about the same, 6.5. I'm going to give it 6.5. This one's tough. That's too dark. I'll give it 6.5 robots demanding that we surrender our flesh and then exploding.
With those weird scary bug heads.
Yeah, the big scary like bug heads. Like a zillion eyes. And Blockbuster, lackluster.
I think it's a blockbuster if you're a fan of The Matrix.
If you're a fan of The Matrix and you're a Matrix nerd, blockbuster.
If you're not a fan of The Matrix, then don't watch
My
this.
My mom probably wouldn't care.
There will
care
be
about
nothing,
this.
Almost yeah. nothing for you.
Yeah.
Maybe Detective Story.
So, well, that is The Animatrix, and that is our show for this week. But before we go, we want to, of course, let you know what we're going to be watching next week. We're going to put ourselves through it for your entertainment. As a special thanks to you Thanksgiving week.
I'm stealing myself for this.
As a special Thanksgiving treat, thanks to all of our listeners, we're going to be watching the final Matrix movie that I've only seen once, and I think Ryan has too.
I've only seen once. I've tried to watch it.
I tried to think to watch it again, too,
and I have not been able to.
We're going to be watching Matrix Revolutions. Oh, boy. So thank you all so much for joining us, and join us next time we finish up Matrix Month with Matrix Revolutions. And remember,
whether it's Blockbuster
or Lackluster, we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network,
exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.